This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
9:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Conn, Ed Norris down in Florida, taking care of personal business with the home. Joining us right now, former GM and now with MLB Network Radio, he is Jim Duquette. What's going on, Jim?
Guys, what's going on? I thought I'd see Ed in New York, so hopefully everything is okay down there in Florida. And give me a quick, are we good with the Ravens right now? I need your take on this. We figured out we have a running game. What is it? What do we got?
4-2 right now. I think they have a balanced attack. Jim, they came in on Sunday with a team in the Washington Commanders that wanted to load the box and stop the run. So all Lamar did was throw for over 300, and then when they backed up, because they were afraid of the pass, they let the closer close, and Derrick Henry.
Hey, Jim, over the past couple of years, we've heard some things from both sides, that Orioles and Ravens, that we didn't expect to hear. One, the Orioles are going to the playoffs, and then the second one would be the Ravens have the number one offense in football.
Jeremy, thank you, Jeremy. I feel a lot better from both you guys. I appreciate that. That is so true.
Now make us feel better. We saw this Gold Glove finalist list.
What the hell?
Cedric Mullins, was that a typo? I mean, are they going to come back and say, you know what, we had a typo, we got it together now, Cedric Mullins belongs on this list?
I mean, there's so many different ones on there, right? I mean, that one, there's one that I was scratching
Soto.
My head going,
Juan Soto?
Soto. Yeah, thank you, Soto. I'm going, wait a minute. I understand the eyeball test also has to play in this. You know, they create, so interestingly, when they have got the, you know, coaches, players, they vote on this, right? They are supplying the coaches now with metrics and statistics. But it's still a, hey, you know, what have you seen, and who's, you know, still a reputation type of award to some degree. So I think that's where you're seeing some of this, and not all of it, but there's every year I scratch my head in the Gold Glove Awards. I don't like them.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, like I was saying this, I've made fun of Juan Soto all year long for coming in on fly balls that were over his head, misplaying them off the wall. And I guess because his glove doesn't touch it, the metrics maybe end up not disliking them the way that they should. I don't get it. And I said this before, I don't have a problem when you look at certain guys, like let's say Stephen Kwan didn't quite have the season that he had and he ends up getting nominated. I have no problem with it because he's got a track record with it.
Right.
But when I look at situations like this, and we're pointing out Cedric Mullins and some other guys, I just don't understand it because he's not good at all defensively, let alone deserving of winning an award.
Right. It almost goes back to the conversation when Rafi Palmeiro got a Gold Glove. Right? He was DH-ing most of the year. Like you see every single year you have oddities and they're trying to figure out ways to correct him. You know, and they still obviously haven't figured it out because, you know, yes, part of this is reputation, and that should be included in something if you're, you know, if it's a deciding factor between one guy who maybe is up and coming versus someone who's been good, like Arenado, right? Nolan Arenado, you know, had 9 straight Gold Gloves over third base, you know, and then, you know, he had a down year, and, you know, he was still, like you're talking about, he was still an honorable mention or whatever, however they term it. I'm fine with that, or even if they gave it to him for one last time. But yeah, it's unfortunately, you know, a bit of a joke, and it shouldn't be because guys are getting award bonuses based off of this.
Yeah, here with Jim Duquette, former GM, currently with MLB Network Radio. Jim, we were talking the final four teams that's available. The Dodgers, on paper, in my opinion, the best team that's left in this playoff. They're the best team in baseball, and they've been that way for about a half a decade. So, Jim, why do they only have one World Series win and that was during an abbreviated season in 2020.
Yeah, and they feel it too. You know, they understand that it's added some extra pressure and expectations there, not only in the sport but within their own fan base. That's I think the beauty of the baseball postseason is you can have a hot team like we saw last year with the Diamondbacks, like out of nowhere get to the World Series. Just as easily as you could the best team in the sport. And we don't have the best team in the sport, not that often, has won the whole thing. I mean, you go back to when the Red Sox won it. Braves, actually, the year the Braves won it, they beat the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers were the best team that year when the Braves beat. So it doesn't happen that often that the number one seed goes all the way and runs the table to the end. It's just difficult. There's so many different factors that happen through the course of the postseason. And we were talking to Stan Kasten, who's the president of the Dodgers there, the other day, just about the impact on Ohtani, and he brought up the point that we all know. It's like as much of an impact as he's had, you still can't put him up in the key situations late. Like, it's just a randomness there that mm-hmm. happens with the sport that football and basketball, you can control who has the ball, in the key spots in the end. And still, that doesn't guarantee it, but it gives you a better shot of winning.
And I know the series isn't over with the Yankees leading 2-0, but it feels like Major League Baseball is going to get what they want, a Dodgers-Yankees World Series or a Subway Series. Right. What are your thoughts on what we potentially see in the World Series? Which teams?
Well, I'm with you in terms of what we could use as a sport. I mean, they're starting to see ratings continue to go higher, and I think attendance and interest level continues to go higher both here and internationally. But the best thing for the sport would be the Dodgers and the Yankees. I thought the Dodgers, even going into the series against the Mets, that they were the hotter team. Watching them the last two games against San Diego, I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a tough task. And then the Mets win in game two. That's going to be more of a series than we think. I still think in the end the Dodgers win it. As much as I would love covering the sport, I'm going to be there in the World Series covering it in New York. I'd love to stay in the same place for the entire series. It's probably not going to happen. I think it would be the Dodgers and in the Yankees, and that's going to be good, I think, for the exposure and the eyeballs.
So there you go, your former Mets, your team in the NLCS. They're tied at 1, and tonight they take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. We are right now. We are Mets fans, Ed and I at least. Jeremy stands to lose some money.
Yeah. No. All right. Well, we'll see. Are you going to be in New York? I'll be there. Next three games. You going?
I won't go unless they have the World Series there.
Okay. All right.
Jim, I'm kind of curious, just from a personal standpoint, the fact that you've worked for organizations, does it still tug at your heartstrings depending on where you've been and who you're rooting for? Or is it kind of like, screw those guys, they fired me?
No, because I still do some pre and post for them too, okay, on the Mets TV. So I've been doing that for the last dozen years. So as you guys know, when the team is going, I mean, you can make good cases for teams that are losing too, but it's way easier and way more fun when you're talking about a team that's been winning.
Absolutely.
So watching this year in particular, it was so unexpected. Like, you were waiting for the other shoe to fall, like what happens with Mets fans. Like, oh, here we go. They're not going to win here. And then they ended up actually getting into the postseason. So it was kind of that nice little pleasant surprise. Very rarely are they underdogs, but they've been underdogs for the most part throughout the season and then into the postseason.
Jim Duquette, thanks a lot, my friend.
Appreciate
all right,
it,
guys. All right. See you soon.
Enjoy
Bye.
The series.
He's good.
It is. Yeah. If there's a New York team in the World Series, one way or the other, I'll go to a game or two. The weekend games.
I've never been to a World Series. That's the one. I want to go to a World Series, but I want to go to it with my team in the game.
I've been to several of them without my team in the game. Yeah. I went to a game.
I've never been.
Yeah.
I mean, my first playoff game is when they first went to the game before the Delmon Young game.
Oh, really?
That was my first Major League Baseball playoff game.
I can see it because there haven't been a lot of playoff series here in Baltimore.
No, and then even when, like, if you think mid to late 90s when they were good, I mean, I was in high school. So it's like, I don't think it was at the top of the list to take us out and go to a playoff game, at least for my dad, but whatever. I did want to bring something up because I know my segment's coming up here if you want to set that up. But it's, did you look at the schedule for college football this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Whoo, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
There's three top 25 matchups of teams, and there's one really big one with Georgia and Texas.
Yep.
And this weekend looks like a lot of fun.
Georgia's going to come up with two losses. Georgia's going to be the first example of the question, can a two-loss team get into the playoffs? And the answer is going to be yes, because those two losses are going to be Alabama and Texas.
So there's some people that think that
all losses aren't created equal.
Yeah, that's true. But there are some people that believe that they could get in with a three-loss season. And I don't know, it seems like a bit of a stretch, but there's 12 teams.
All losses aren't created equal, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You lose to Alabama and Texas? Yeah. Joe LaCroix's Encore 945, but on the other side is Jeremy Kahn's Daily Line.
Yeah, not a good day for me yesterday. Hate coming in and saying that. I tied on two games, and the other four games I lost. I gave out six games yesterday, and one of the losses really hurt because it went to double overtime, and that's what caused me to lose. But other than that, it wasn't a good day. So where do we go? We come back today. College football, Major League Baseball, NHL, and my favorite play tonight is in the WNBA. That's right. My favorite plays in the WNBA. I tell you who that is next here on The Fan.
The Big Bad Daily Line. 105.7 The Fan.
And this ball smokes center field and deep. That sends Thomas back. He's now circling under it. He's not going to get it. It is out of here. There's the home run for Judge. A high, majestic shot to center field that just got over the wall. And the Yankees now lead it 6-2 as Aaron Judge goes big fly.
There you go. Big fly for Aaron Judge. That's courtesy of ESPN Radio as the Yankees win that game. And we had a couple of home runs. Jose Ramirez hit one late. It leads us into tonight where we get the Dodgers and the Mets, and we'll get to that in a second. But that was a game I lost. I had the under. A couple of home runs late kind of screwed me over in that fashion. Well, I shouldn't say I lost the bet. Yesterday's games in college football, I told you the one game went to double overtime, caused me to lose. Those are the ones, those really hurt when you feel like you've capped the game right and then something goofy happens that you don't typically see. And you get overtime, or then you get double overtime or triple overtime. It happened to be double overtime that killed us yesterday. Now, and then I pushed in one of the hockey games. It was my favorite play on the day, so tied in that. Now, the question is, where do we go from here today? Let's start off with baseball, just because the Dodgers-Mets has a heavy, heavy push to the under. As I'm looking at the weather now, wind's blowing in at about 12 miles an hour, 55-degree temperatures. And it's blowing in towards the first baseline, which really makes it difficult to hit home runs.
Right.
Whether it's straight into home plate or going off in one direction, you almost have to hit it right when it dies down to get it out, and especially a big stadium
mm-hmm.
like the Mets play in, could be difficult. The one thing I'll say is there's not a lot of data on this. Only seven games of data, which to me is not enough to sway this, sway me to just go hog wild and bet the under. But it does support an under bet. I'm taking the Dodgers today. As I look at this and I'm going... drink algorithm. The hitters today, top hitters, Otani, Freeman. Then we get to Lindor, Mookie Betts, Nimmo, Alonzo,
Mookie,
Teoscar, Will Smith, and Max Muncy. These lefties, Muncy, Freddie, Shohei, I think that's trouble for Luis Severino tonight. But we shall see. It's one of the things with him, he's not just a guy that gives up hard contact and gives up home runs. Sometimes he loses the strike zone. He can get wild, and that can lead to big innings. Because even with me saying I think it's going to be difficult to hit home runs tonight, there's too much power in these lineups to just go ahead and say, "Hey, nope, 12 mile an hour winds. You're not hitting a home run." There's just way. I mean, Pete Alonso could close his eyes and run into one. I am taking the Dodgers tonight. They're -110. I think they take a 2-1 series lead this evening. One of the other things I want to bring up. I don't know if Manaea will get to pitch at home again. But when he's at home, he does not lose. His team doesn't lose. They're 16-0 when he pitches at home. So just something to think about if you're into that sort of thing. Let's go to college football. Again, smaller schools playing. I like UTEP +7 against FIU. I like Western Kentucky and Sam Houston State to go under the 55.5. The Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, that is. They play tonight, Rob.
Uh-huh.
In the NHL, I really like Colorado tonight, -120 on the road. I think the Avalanche win. And Buffalo and Pittsburgh, I'm going to take it under 6. Now, getting to my favorite play tonight, and I've been on them in all three games, I've been on them in two games, and now I'm going to be back on them in the third. I love the Liberty tonight. And they're the better team.
Who the Flames playing?
Huh? Who? No. the Liberty. Not Liberty University. I liked them last week and they let me down. But no, the New York Liberty, they ain't covered. The New York Liberty, I think, started to figure it out. Like, they were blowing them out in game one and took their foot off the gas pedal. I don't want to diminish what Minnesota's done and coming back in that game and winning for as big as they were down.
But you, in theory, you are.
But I'm going to, because, again, I just think they match up with Minnesota, the Lynx, that is.
I hope they whip their ass.
Really well.
I don't like how you're coming at them right now.
I like Napier. I like a lot of those players that are on Minnesota, but this New York team's got a little bit of everything.
All right.
You've got your former MVP that can dominate. You've got, when you're talking about Ionescu and what she can do, I mean, she's basically a walking triple-double on almost any given night. I just think that they finally put together what they should have been doing. It got a little dicier late, but they never trailed. And then they handled business, and I think they go in and take game three here. Minus the 3.5, the Liberty are my favorite play tonight. Ass. And again, going back to what I was saying, I'll just touch on this briefly with college football. Texas hosting Georgia this weekend. Texas is a 3.5-point favorite. I can almost guarantee you I'm going to be on Texas. Their defense is just outrageously good. And then you have Tennessee and Alabama, where Alabama's a small road favorite. You've also got there's a smaller, like, top 25 matchup with when you look at the back end of the top 25 and who's going to have an opportunity today or this Saturday to play. As I said, Alabama, Tennessee, but Michigan, they're also in a top 25 matchup as they face Illinois. And then there's some other good ones, too, that I think some people will look over, Rob. We've got Boston College against Virginia Tech. Boston College was ranked for a good portion to start the season. Remember, they had the big win over Florida State, which doesn't look like it's that big of a win now.
No.
But they're they're a 7-point underdog to Virginia Tech. And then on top of it, there's another game that I think is really intriguing that comes up on the weeknight. That's Miami and Louisville. Miami's only a 5-point favorite on the road at Louisville, and they've had some close games, including where the refs helped them out against Cal. So we'll see if Miami can stay undefeated. But some really good college football games. I'll have some plays for you on Friday to go over that. But, again, my favorite play tonight, the Liberty. I like the Dodgers. And I like Colorado a lot in the NHL. There you go.
There you go. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Baltimore and get Rashawn.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Hey, I heard the shovel to Jerry Jones, man, which was actually well-deserved, you know, so I ain't calling to defend him or nothing like that.
All right.
But like you said, no, like you said, man, Rob, he is a bully and everything like that. And people got to realize, when you're dealing with people like bullies like that, man, you got to tread carefully and lightly, man. You know, he, the richest person in Texas, is a very powerful man, so, man, you just got to pick your battle sometime.
Well, he didn't start a battle. He asked him a question.
The guy was doing his job. And he got mad.
Yeah. But see, y'all don't know the back. It's a lot of stuff because he come on every show. Y'all don't listen to the show. He come on every Tuesday, right? And the guy Shan nitpicks with him all the time. He do little stuff to get under Jerry's skin. You know, Jerry old and senile now. You know, so and Shan, you know, Shan was the same guy that got fired by Jerry Coleman. You know, he threatened Jerry Coleman and everything like that, you know. I'm not saying Shannon's a bad guy or nothing like that, but when you're dealing with bullies like that, people like Jerry Jones, and a lot of people, what gets me, people on social media going at Jerry Jones, a lot of people, but these are the same people that's voting for Trump. And Jerry Jones is giving off Trump vibes with that bully stuff. And Trump does the same way, you know.
It's weird because you called in and said you weren't calling to defend Jerry Jones. I'm giving Sean this right here because you did exactly what you said you weren't going to do.
No, but you called everyone a bully, so it just nullifies it.
He said he gave up Trump vibes. He's bully. He's. But at the same time, what was the other guy's name?
In Texas, they're Shan. Barbecuing the Shan. Dogs. They're barbecuing
Shan.
The pets.
Shan did this, and the man is a radio host. He's supposed to ask questions.
Can I hear Shan's latest tweet where someone was talking about the fact that Jerry Jones is not paying them. You know, his team is on their airwaves, but he is not directly their boss. He said the most insane part of this entire day is Jerry actively destroying the reality. He doesn't control the DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth media. Dan Snyder got killed for owning and interfering with both his stations in D.C. Jerry has been the opposite, but today he is dead set on giving the impression he wants media puppets. And this is my problem, too, when we talk about the media. This is news, okay?
Yeah.
Are you going to report the news, or are you going to go out and basically just coddle this guy and let him do whatever
he wants?
Like, nothing's wrong. You're perfect. You're great at this job.
That's what he wants. Let's go to Calvin in Baltimore. What's up, Calvin?
Rob, Jeremy, sure. Good morning, guys.
Up,
how you guys doing?
Yeah, good to hear from you, man.
Fantastic. Guys, I want to give some props out to Mark Andrews, but Rob and Jeremy, real quick, before I say that, the 21st of next month, my idol, the guy that I patted my basketball game at, the Earl of Pearl Monroe, turns 80 next month. This is the thing about Mark Andrews, man. This guy is a total class act. You know, during the whole time when King Henry and Likely and everybody's getting off, this guy had no ego, nothing. He stayed in this place. This guy, and never since Dave Casper and Raymond Chester, Aaron Hernandez and Gronk, had we had a tight end. And then when you throw a Cola in on the mix, and then Rob, this is the last thing, Jeremy. And for Lamar, you know, when he's on his game, he's off. He's on another planet. For him to be able to keep all these guys happy, you know. And but that Mark Andrews, man, love this guy. Class act. Got to have him. Don't send him off to Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Take care.
Appreciate the cow.
By the way, talking about Black Jesus, Earl of Pearl Monroe, and what he was able to do on the basketball court, one of the cool things he's done since he got done playing is that he really pushes for, it's probably coming up where we get the text message or the email saying, you want Earl the Pearl Monroe on, because he pushes people to get the their prostate check, because he went through that, and
sure
he's really, really big on that, and loved the chance I got to interview him and talk to him off the air when he was in studio.
Joe LaCroix's Encore 945, but on the other side, the O's of the O's, the Ravens offensive line appears to have gelled, but are you still concerned? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, absolutely. They're doing a really good job, and certainly the five guys that played yesterday played very well, and different guys had different things to fight through that they worked through, which is true of all football players. But I thought they did a great job with that. Ronnie being a good example, and so, but not just those five guys, right? The other the six, seven, eight, nine guys. Those guys are all playing well when they play. So we're kind of building some real depth in there. But I appreciate the high level they're playing at. But just like we said 4 weeks ago, they can continue to get better. You know, there's a lot of room for improvement across the whole board with our whole team, and definitely the O-line thinks that way too.
Yeah, the offensive line. Jeremy, do you think the offensive line is gelling, or they're just good run blockers who are running the football a lot more?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think there's probably a combination of both, that maybe they are gelling to a degree, but I think some of it's been, it's always the outcome of the game help in not bashing the offensive line. When you watch Lamar making those plays, especially in Cincinnati, like,
right,
should have been sacked.
Yeah.
Should have been sacked, but
yeah,
he extends it. And I'm not saying he does that all the time, because, you know, we had Ken McCusick in here yesterday and said Falele was phenomenal on Sunday. And again, those aren't things that you and I, well, I don't say you, but like, that I typically look at. I'm not following the offensive line unless they're making mistakes, unless you see them jumping off, you know, false starting, holding, giving up sacks. It's got to be one of the worst feelings in the world to pick up a guy that you just let down and your man sacked him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I do think they're gelling, but you should build a rapport the more you play together.
I agree. I think what you're seeing is you're seeing a team who is finding out who they are and what they do. That's what they're finding out, who they are and what they do, and what they do best. And I think the coaching staff is catering to their strengths. Their strength is run blocking, and, you know, giving Lamar enough time to be Lamar.
You know, it's like, I love this stuff, too, as you're watching the season, because I'm just sitting here remembering back 4 weeks ago going into the Dallas game and how people felt. Like, oh, my God, this is the I can't get this right. This sucks. You're blowing 10-point leads. And then now everybody's talking about them being the best team in football, which whether you agree with that or not, I mean, at least they're in the conversation. I just think it's funny to see this stuff, and it just goes back to when things are going right, when you're winning games, you don't hear a lot of complaints.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still stuff that you can correct in wins. You know this as well as a coach. Like, it's even better. You win the game and you're like, yeah, we did this wrong. We got to get this right. Because people say, oh, you always learn from losses. I like to learn from wins as well.
I like to learn from wins. Yeah. It's easier to keep your attention when we're winning.
Absolutely.
When we're losing, it's hard to keep people's attention because now they're doubting, you know, things that they shouldn't be doubting. Let's just say that.
Yeah. And, you know, so as I look at the Ravens and the games that they have coming up, I mean, look, you have divisional games, which are never easy. You know, Cincinnati, again, you get them at home. Two games with Cleveland, the two games with Pittsburgh. But there's some other teams. Like, they should handle Tampa Bay on Monday night, in my opinion. Even with the way that Tampa's been playing, you can run on that. Tampa's defense is not good, mm-hmm. even though they looked better on against the Saints team. That was Spencer Rattler.
Right.
You ain't getting Rattler this week. You're getting Lamar. So we'll see. Again, proving it on the road and keep stacking W's, and what are they going to say? The road to the Super Bowl right now, as it goes through Kansas City. But I don't think this team really cares where they go because that running game is going to travel.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Derrick Henry, we talked about this before. He's getting a lot of carries, and I know the offensive line is doing better, but running backs take hits. I don't care how good the offensive line blocks, because at some point, you've got to leave that offensive line. Do you think this is something that we'll continue to see at this pace?
I mean, I guess you start, like, you got to take everything in for this example with the offensive line and how things are going, but I can't fault the Ravens for using Derrick Henry late when he's your closer. And again, when you're in the moment, I think you worry about some of his carries, but they're going to have to figure out a way to spell him here and there because you don't want him missing games. And what have we said? Like, I think this team's going to the Super Bowl barring two things. Coaching or injuries. And those are the only two things I think are going to offset it because I really don't believe the AFC is that good this year.
John Harbaugh spoke on Derrick Henry and the amount of carries that he's been getting lately.
Yeah, I think the point of the whole thing is it's like not going to be – you just don't expect, you know, 25. I said 30, and that was probably exaggeration. But I think you can say, you know, necessarily we're not planning and expecting and demanding 20 to 25 carries a game out of any back. A, we have multiple backs that can do different things, and you just don't know if you're going to get that many opportunities necessarily to run the ball. When you have the lead, it definitely amps that up, especially in the second half, so the carries go up. But every game, you can't say every game is going to be a high number of carries for any or touches or throws or anything, which was my point. So we didn't bring Derrick in to say, oh, we're going to make sure we give the ball a certain number of times. We just want to give him the ball enough times to win the game, you know, which is some games is a lot, which how many did you have yesterday? 24, we weren't counting them. It sure felt comfortable giving them the ball at the end there, right? So that's kind of how it goes.
And I can deal with that. You know, sometimes, you know, we kind of roll our eyes at some of the answers that we're giving, but that's an answer acceptable. Before the two games of 20-plus, he had under 20 the two games before that. And people were complaining about it. I think it all balances out at the end.
Yeah, look, this isn't a situation where you've got a pitcher that's on a pitch count, you know, like, and you're going, okay, I don't want him to get over this number. I don't want him to pitch any more in these innings. It is a game-by-game basis, and I think this is where Harbaugh is absolutely correct in what he's saying. In the moment, your plans change. Like, you may come in saying, we're going to give Derrick Henry 15 carries, and then it's like, oh, we need a first down to run out the clock. You're going to tell me you're not going to put in your best weapon?
Yeah.
To run the clock? I mean, you have to, and I think from game to game, you're hoping he doesn't get up near those 30, 35, 40 carries in a game because that seems ridiculous. That's the stuff they do in college when they're wearing out running backs. Just keep running the ball. Give it to him. Give it to Booby.
Y'all want to win? Put Booby in.
So, and you're going to see games where he gets 15 carries. You're going to see games where he gets less. And he looks like a machine right now, but as the season goes on, he typically gets better. So, part of me was going, does that mean the carries are going to go up? I just think it's a game-by-game basis. And when the playoffs get here, all bets are off.
It should be off. It's about winning. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
Well, this is what happens when you start putting all these power conferences together we get all these weak ones. And I guess it's easier to say, you're in a weak conference, so you're not going to get into the postseason because we want to put another SEC team in.
Clash of the Titans tonight, though.
Mm-hmm.
In the conference, 2-0 Western Kentucky versus 2-0 Sam Houston from Conference USA.
Did you know Western Kentucky's the Hilltoppers?
Yes, I did.
Not Manhattan?
Did you know?
The Western Kentucky Jaspers.
He called Manhattan the Hilltoppers. Where? What hill?
They're on top of it.
What hill?
You can't see it. You just see them.
Manhattan. Are they the Hilltoppers? I don't think so.
Highest point in New York City is in Staten Island. 400 feet.
But they're the Hilltoppers.
Well, where the hell is the Jasper at?
Highest natural point in Manhattan is Bennett Park. It's 265 feet above sea level.
That's that hill.
So your feet are wet. Yeah. That's what it means.
You got to get over the hill to get there, though.
They would be the inclines, not even the hilltop. And that's the encore for today, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So are you all into or more into the Mets Dodgers tonight, or are you more into the college football games tonight?
It would definitely be Mets Dodgers, but honestly, I'm going to be more into, I can't believe I'm saying this, be more into Liberty Lynx game that comes on later today.
I can believe you say that. You're a basketball junkie.
I am, but like, it's always been a thing.
You think the men going to think you're less manly because you're into a women's basketball
game? I'm not saying that.
That's what that is?
I'm talking about from a gambling standpoint.
Those women on that TV will whip those men's ass on the court.
Oh, I'm not arguing with you. But the only thing I'm saying is I didn't expect to be...
good stuff, man.
I mean, I've had a really good season in the WNBA. A really good season.
Oh, betting-wise?
Yes. And so it's... Like, at one point, I was just killing it. And again, I'll say this, the same way that we were talking about Colorado. I faded Colorado football in so many damn games and won money off them. Early on in the season, I was fading Caitlin Clark's ass and going against them because everybody wanted to bet on them, even though they weren't a good team back then. They got better as the season went on, and she started to figure it out. And then, obviously, the line started to change.
You know what? I'm going to be watching the Hilltoppers versus the Bearcats.
See, that's what I'm on.
Huh? You know Sam Houston was the Bearcats.
Manhattan's playing Cincinnati? Is that what happened? There's nothing better than when Joe goes to read it and is like, the highest, it's like 200 feet above sea level.
Joe's got to put facts in things all the time. We know we're wrong. You don't have to factually back up us being wrong.
But you know, I only do it to Jeremy.
Oh, I don't care. If it's funny, it's funny. Like, I even said, is it the Hilltoppers? I'm like, that's not them. I said directly right after it, that's Western Kentucky. What's Manhattan? And you said it begins with a J, and I guess Jaspers. What is a Jasper? Do we know? We're looking that
up now. It's the other Osley brother. Osley Jasper Osley, isn't it? You know what that them? Osley Jasper Osley?
It's Mr. Big's brother?
Yeah. Back when they did Caravan, they were Osley, Jasper, Osley.
It's Ronald and Jasper.
He was a, he comes from the college's most memorable figures, Brother Jasper.
Oh, Brother Jasper.
Man. Is named that the person?
His name that's the person.
Let's not fact check him.
Yeah.
He might get canceled. let's not fact check him.
Oh,
man. We might have to name that school something else.
I remember when they had to change the name of Syracuse Orangeman. The orange.
Who was that offensive? I mean,
Trump.
Who are the orange men? Where are the orange men walking around offended and call the orange men?
I can't believe
really,
you called me that.
What was the orange men really about? What was that?
Was it a tribe? Was it more about like Native? Now we got Joe doing. Joe, look this up for me. Joe, look it up for me. We got a computer right in front of us.
Changed it in 2004 to make the nickname more gender neutral and more concise.
So it wasn't about offending orange people.
It was about offending orange women.
It's about, yeah.
It's just
we exist too.
The mascot's just based off of their official color.
Their mascot's an orange.
Because no one else had claimed like the team name orange, so they took that.
Okay.
They wanted to be different.
All right, well, hey, it's better than the Utah Hockey Club.
That's original. There's only one.
Yeah.
Name another Utah hockey club.
Ain't one.
Exactly. They're original.
Just them. There is some, like, when you start looking at some of the team names around sports, when they come up with it, why is it so hard? Like, I know you want to, as soon as you get the name out there, you work on it, it actually becomes like you start to get accustomed to it. I'll give you an example. When I heard New Orleans Pelicans, I'm like, the hell kind of name is that? And they play at the Smoothie King Center? They make enough smoothies to sponsor a whole center? It's like, damn, man. But then you start to look at the Pelicans now, and it just feels normal saying New Orleans Pelicans. I don't know if it's going to get normal for me saying Cleveland Guardians and Washington Commanders. Because I was watching on Sunday, Bill Cowher. It's almost like Bill Cowher just doesn't care. Because everybody else is Commanders, Commanders, Commanders. Bill Cowher goes, when I played the Redskins did, and he just rolling with it.
Well, he didn't play the Commanders. He played the Redskins.
But people are, even when they're saying like it's Redskins history, they still say Commanders history and go back to that stuff. Everybody's kind of flipped and tried not to use it. We've even heard, like, we had Preston on Monday, and I think he said it once. But it's just...
Yeah, not once.
Okay. Well, you got to get... I mean, it's just something to get used to, but there's a lot of people that just don't like the names. Like, Guardians is stupid. What are you Guardians of?
The Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
Now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. What we learned today. Today is a Capital National Day. Today is National Sports Day, Jeremy.
Hmm.
Today is also National Broad Day. Now, this is each breast cancer campaign brings a special focus on an area of concern. However, few shine a light on the options after mastectomy or lumpectomy, like Broad Day USA. Reconstruction may not be for every woman. They should have the access to available options so they can make informed decisions. So that's what Broad Day is all about.
Two things. They could just put it together and make it Sports Broad Day, and it would work.
Okay.
But we were talking about this earlier. Ananda Lewis, for somebody that's in our wheelhouse,
yeah,
one of the MTV VJs, she decided against having a mastectomy. She had breast cancer, and it's gotten worse, and now she has stage 4 breast cancer.
Yeah.
She's 51.
There's also National Dictionary Day. Ed's not here to celebrate his day.
What is it?
National Fossil Day.
Oh,
if for some reason someone told me to celebrate this day because it's for me, National Bosses Day.
Bosses
because
Day?
I think I'm one.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like that. A couple of birthdays in sports. Today is Dave the Bush's day. Would have been his birthday. Would have been Tim McCarver's birthday. And it would have been Chris Dolman's birthday. And it could have been Manute Bol's birthday. Mm. Would have been. So I'm glad I wasn't born on the 16th today. Of October. Today is also Bryce Harper's birthday. He is 32 today. And Naomi Osaka is 27 today. Former Raven here, Super Bowl hero Jermaine Lewis and Sue Bird share this birthday. Who's older?
Jermaine Lewis.
Joe?
Jermaine Lewis.
Oh, he bums. Jermaine Lewis turns 50. Sue Bird turns 44. That's the closest ones I had. I had nobody else close.
No, but I started like thinking about the math and when that happened and 4 years in college, right? Or at least, whatever. We got it right, Joe. We're on the winning side. Rob, you like this one. My wife thinks I'm having an affair. I took her golfing with me for the first time, and she said, there's no way you can spend so much time and money on something you're so bad at. No? You didn't get it? Joe didn't know.
What's the punchline?
I took my wife golfing with me. She said she doesn't believe I'm not having an affair. You wouldn't spend this much money.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got it. Right. Okay, fair enough.
But don't rim shot it if you got to have it explained to you.
It wasn't that funny to begin with.
Yeah, shut up, Joe. You don't know. What do you get when you ask a lemon for help? Lemonade. Why did the giraffe with the short neck feel sad? He just wanted to be long. I shouldn't have drank laxatives for going to church. Holy crap. Here we go. This one's good. What do mermaids use to wash their fins? Tide. This one of Rob's favorites. How do you measure a heavy red chili pepper? You give it away, give it away, give it away now. And lastly, at dinner, my Tinder date said, I've only hooked up with 8 guys per month on average this year. And I said, that means a lot to me. There you go.
Give it away, now. He did that one before. I like that one. I said that one before.
Yeah.
But Stephanie got it.
Joe, would you like me to explain that joke again so it's funnier the third time?
Explain what?
So you rip shot it again. Vinny and Haiti up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Hump Day Wednesday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app